live. Yeah, we're live. Yeah. Uh-huh. Worms. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Worms. These are not the worms you're looking for.
These are not the worms you're looking for. Who's doing the intro?
I'll do the intro.
Okay. Finally.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios at the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working?
Yeah.
Can you feel it, Daryl?
Can you feel it, Michael?
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep. And these are not the worms you're looking for. You know, writing entails many things.
This is just a joke.
Writing entails many things, and one of them is, I actually wrote that intro, and I'm pretty pleased with that intro. It kind of morphed a little bit over time, but the basic kernel of it, I wrote, it actually took me like an hour to write that. You know, people be like, well, that's like 30, 20 seconds. How could that take you an hour?
So that it be written, so that it be done.
You're so good, James, with that. It's unbelievable. Yeah, but I actually sat down and wrote that one fair day. Years ago. You know, I found out today that there's a podcast, not a radio show, a podcast that has radio wrestling names and allegedly was doing it before us. Brian Sovereign's show. Do you know, you guys know that? You ever listen to his show?
I have listened to his show a few times, but I'm not like, I should listen to it more. From what I've, the few times I've listened to it, it's pretty good.
Yeah. But, yeah, he said the other day, of himself, am I the one who invented wrestling names for podcasts? And I said, no, we've been doing it for 4 years. And he's like, well, I've been doing it for 6 years. So he wins.
Yeah. That sounds like so Brian.
Yeah. Saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Yeah. I like Brian, but I don't. Yeah. He's out of his orbit is close to my orbit, but doesn't intersect all that much. But yeah, I've been on that show. It's fun. I've been on there talking about how to fix the future, and you know, nobody took me up on it. Well, one person did. A few people did when we were making stuff for Namecoin, which is still around. You know, Namecoin was the second ever. It was the first ever altcoin. Do you guys know that?
I didn't know that.
We should probably explain what a coin is. Altcoin.
Yeah.
So Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a, you know, there's Bitcoin's in the news a lot these days, and a lot of people don't really understand it, don't like it. They say things like, that's not real money, it's not backed with anything, and they can just print as many as they want. First of all, they can't just print as many as they want. Has a set, what is it, 21 million, 27 million? 21 million total, and I think they're about half minted now.
Yeah, last I checked, it was about half.
Half mined, like minted, but you know, people. I'm amazed how many people don't understand that, because now at this point there's like 700 altcoins, and there's like, you know, 10 of them that are worth a lot of money too, and have gone up even more than Bitcoin. But was it like if you bought $10,000 in gold? I think it was 5 years ago or 4 years ago. $10,000 in gold and $10,000 in Bitcoin. No, 6 years ago. If you'd bought $10,000 in Bitcoin, $10,000 in gold, right now your gold would be worth $9,900, and your Bitcoin would be worth $300 million. So anyone who says, it doesn't have any real value, well, I know about four sites, and there's probably more, that you can buy gold for Bitcoin. So if you think gold's the only real money in the world, you missed out by being square and saying, I only want this stuff that was money 3,000 years ago.
I find old people are afraid of this stuff. What do you think, Michael?
Old people? Hey, you're old, Michael. What do you think? well, let's see. I'm not afraid of it. I'm afraid that I didn't buy enough too long
older
ago.
Than you, I meant. Like your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm
my
afraid
dad,
I
my
didn't.
Dad's 95. My dad barely knows what email is or how to use it. I've tried to explain Bitcoin to him. I said it's like gold you can email. And he's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But, you know...
That's actually a good way to explain it. Like it's that? Like gold you like that you can email.
It's young people's gold, and gold is grandpa's Bitcoin. How's that? Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of what old people do, I'm going to come back to cryptocurrencies. But so I've figured out that these gosh dag bum kids today don't know what radio is. Because somebody posted the other day, they said... So tell me if anybody out there who knows of any Liberty radio shows, not podcasts, actual radio. And there were about 100 responses on this list, back and forth, probably 100 total comments. But I would say 2/3 or more of the comments were people posting podcasts that are not on radio as a result to the question. Tell me some Liberty radio shows on actual radio, not podcasts. I mean, just over and over and over and over. Radio show, podcast, you know, internet, quote unquote, radio, you know. And I posted to the guy that somebody posted Freedom Fiends. And I jumped in and said, yeah, there are two voluntarist, true libertarian, true voluntarist radio shows in the world that are syndicated. Freedom Fiends, who have 29 stations, and Free Talk Live, who have 150 to 175. I don't really know what it is currently. It goes up and down. But what I found out, I didn't know, is there's a bunch of libertarian, like, single-channel radio shows around the country. That was kind of interesting to me. Did you guys know that?
Did not know that.
On one station, like, the person goes into the station to do it kind of thing. A lot of them are kind of, you know, libertarian party-ish. Radio, you know, they're not real libertarians. Although James is you're a libertarian party person. You're a 24/7 libertarian party person.
I come at libertarian from all angles.
You joined it to change it from the inside, and you know they're still trying. They're probably going to change their national charter to throw you out at some point, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely. They've been wanting to throw me out for years. Yeah. They've been trying to get me out of there since I joined. So, but like I keep telling them, you know,
yeah. That one that I hit that last one by accident.
Allow me to direct you to the complaint department.
That's to all the libertarians out there that want to throw me out of the Libertarian Party.
Yeah. I don't know what to say to that except.
Can you say that on radio?
Yeah.
I'm so glad it's not another election year.
What's that?
I'm glad it's not another election year because over here, people hold up all their signs and the candidates are on the side of the road waving during the heavy traffic times.
Over here is Hawaii. Yeah.
Big Island, Hawaii.
So you know, the kids don't know what radio is. Literally, don't know what radio is. And also, what I found was like. They don't care. You know, when I said to this guy, when I answered that there's only two syndicated, you know, on multiple station, true libertarian shows. And, you know, some people like James is libertarian from all angles. But I mean, do you think it's a show is really libertarian, James? If the guy's like, you know, I'm a proud, like there's one that's like, you know, his whole thing was like a proud vet of the U.S. Air Force talking about liberty. Nope. I mean, I guess.
Not a libertarian.
Yeah, I guess not a libertarian. So, I guess anybody who gets people to question the government is good with me. But that guy's show was really patriotic libertarian, which is.
Not a libertarian.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, you know, social, like. People who are screaming for wealth redistribution and hating capitalism and doing it over their iPhone, I guess. Same kind of disconnect. But, yeah, so the cryptocurrencies. Russians did it. Yeah, they did. That's Nima Vidati. Yep. Tomorrow night, night after tomorrow night, is a very special Freedom Fiends. It's Nima Vidati, who started this show with me 6 years ago. Yeah, and with his little brother, Knight, who's the latest Freedom Fiends, who I'm really digging. Have you guys heard Knight? He's great. Or did you
I have not.
That was a long time ago he was on.
It was on like a week and a half ago. Is that a long time?
Oh, I mean, originally.
Oh, NEMA. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the first Freedom Fiends show was April Fool's Day, 2011. And people thought it was a joke because it was April. You know, I've got a show called The Freedom Fiends, Worms. And, you know, on April 1st, they thought we were kidding.
But look at it now.
Yeah.
Worms!
Yeah, so actually, Bitcoin. Well, the idea of altcoins was kind of started by Satoshi Nakamoto, the pseudo-anonymous person or the anonymous person or persons who created Bitcoin. On the show, Bitcoin, on the forum Bitcoin Talk website, there was a thread. Satoshi's, if you want a fun time, go read Satoshi's posts on there, because he posted on there for a while, like for a year or more after Bitcoin was created. And at some point, someone said, hey, couldn't we do distributed DNS over the Bitcoin blockchain? And Satoshi said, that's a great idea, but you should use a different network, and the network could maybe share power. Could share, he said CPU, this is before you had to use GPU. He said the network could share CPUs with Bitcoin. And so like in that like two sentence post, he said create an altcoin and create merged mining. And so let it be written, so let it be done. It happened. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
It's assets with applications. Assets and with apps, basically.
That's how it happened.
So let it be written. So let it be.
Yeah. So the really hilarious thing I was going to say about Bitcoin was, so we got Roku. You know what Roku is? It's this little stick that you stick in your, basically so you can like have TV and all your cool computer stuff in another room on a flat screen without having a computer in that room. So this little thing costs like $60, and it's amazing. It's life changing. And there's even ways to like, you know, hook it up to show things that, you know, you downloaded that aren't necessarily on Netflix or Roku or YouTube or any of the other neat things you can see on there. But there's a channel for the Wall Street Journal. I was like, okay, what's on this? And I looked at it and watched a couple like, you know, cutting edge bulls and bears kind of stories. And then there was one like, what is Bitcoin? And that's what it was called. And it was newly put up there. And I clicked on it and said, Bitcoin is a digital blah, 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 blah. And then it said, and it's worth hundreds of dollars per coin, and you can buy it with a credit card on sites like Mt. Gox. Mt. Gox failed, and a lot of people lost money, and the owner ended up in prison. So they're recycling something. Bad Wall Street Journal.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
I can speak to it. I don't know much about it, but I can speak to it. I'm on the radio. Yeah.
I need the can you say that? I didn't have it pulled up.
Can you say that on radio?
There we go.
Can you admit you're going on a wing and a prayer? Yeah. Speaking of wing and a prayer, I saw this article today about the survivors of that ISIS, allegedly ISIS-inspired shooting in Florida, gay bar. Someone went in and just started killing
allegedly.
People. Allegedly. Well, yeah. I think he actually, you know, I think it actually happened.
Well, the allegedly ISIS inspired. It was a little bit late to the party.
Although, I mean, there are people who say, like, planes never hit the Twin Towers. I mean, if you're gonna have conspiracy theories, I mean, I know people who watch that, you know, in horror.
There's allegedly people that say that.
There's allegedly people. I allegedly know people who allegedly saw that. So
I've never met those people in real life that say that no planes hit the towers. I'm just gonna throw that out there. I've never met those people in real life.
I've seen
flat earthers
smoking.
I've met in real life.
Yeah, I've seen the smoking hole of. I was in New York City 3 weeks after 9/11 when there was still smoke coming out of that, and you could see it and smell it. I mean, you could see it, like, you know, from New Jersey still. It was intense, and it was a weird time. It was a weird time, too, because, like, everyone in New York was polite to each other for about a month, from what I heard. You know, like usually in New York, like if you made eye contact with someone on the street and like, hey, what's up? You know, they'd stab you. For like a month after that, everyone was like, we're in this together. We're survivors. New York strong. Like everyone said, hi, how you doing? When they'd see each other on the street. And it lasted about a month. And I was there during that time. It was very strange because I've been in New York a lot. It was not like other times I've been in New York. So I had an exciting thing happen today that I got to get out before we get to the wonders of Bitcoin and how it may die.
What's going on, Bitcoin, Michael?
Bitcoin forks. Find out next. Today, my wife and I had to go in the basement for about 45 minutes because of a tornado warning. I've never had that happen. There was a tornado touched down 8 miles from us, and you know, you can never tell which way those things are going. And they were, you know, sounding the alarm. We were getting alerts on our phones with bright red text that interrupted whatever we were
doing. The Russians did it.
I think they did. Or, you know, who knows, the United States Air Force. I mean, you know all the nukes are in Cheyenne, right? Most of them in Wyoming.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. All those missile silos, yeah. Just like the day after, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I'm just outside the fallout range of one of the biggest targets, you know, in the United States. Yeah, but usually it's pretty mellow here. You know, this is a place where people don't stab you on the street for saying hi. People are friendly. Lower crime than usual. Way lower murder rate than most of America. There's like 7 murders in Wyoming every year or something like that. And there are always people that know each other. You know, you can walk down the street. You can carry a gun. You can go in a store and buy a gun and strap it on your hip without a permit or stick it in your pocket without a permit. You know, you can protect yourself here, but guns will not protect you from a tornado. So it was, we had like 70 mile an hour plus wind gusts, or like not even gusts, like steady, like, you know, trees looked like they were going to blow over today. It was really intense and it came up really quick. We were just sitting there on the couch, calmly talking, sweet love talk. And, oh, baby, how was your day? And stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, beep, beep, things, you know, neighbors like running outside to get in cover. And we're like, what's going on? We looked at our phones and saw the thing and just went down the basement, sat down there for, you know, a little less than an hour, and then came up and it was calm when we were done. But, you know, I think some people lost some trailers and some trees got totally uprooted and, you know, not far from here, like, you know, less than a 10-minute drive from here. In Texas.
I miss hurricanes. You guys ever,
yeah. Oh, you, well, this was it. Did I say hurricane? This is tornado. But, you know, the wind,
I miss
was
tornadoes.
Getting up.
Sorry about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Do you have hurricanes, though, in Hawaii, don't you? Or tropical.
Well, you see, the weird thing, it's a mountain, right? It's about almost 14,000 feet tall, sticks up, and so
what's it
tends,
what is it?
Mauna Kea. The island I live on is the biggest one. It's a big mountain.
Know, I have to point out here, this is a subsection of a chapter I'm writing in the book right now, is the power of it. In the section on communicating clearly, I will say that I would probably say that half of all misunderstood communications are not defining the word it. Look for that.
I look for we, us, and our too. Yeah, pronouns.
We,
pronoun
us,
troubles.
And our. Yeah, but it. It's a problematic one. So
yeah.
It,
so you don't have as many hurricanes hit or touch down here because this mountain diverts them around to the other islands. That's what I was trying to say. The mountain where I live. So the name Mauna Kea is, you know, I'm going to say it, but, you know, we're going to break.
Can you say it on radio, Mauna Kea? I don't know what it means. It might be something, you know,
white
salacious.
Mountain.
You can't say white mountain, man. That's racist. All right, we'll be back after this trip to the market. Talk about Bitcoin and how it may die.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Thank you.
back. Bitcoin. Back talking Bitcoin. If Bitcoin is amazing. Has it changed your life, Daryl?
I made some with it. I sold some. I held on to some. I'm making more with it. It's definitely changed my life. I keep making more with it. It's a really great tool. It's too bad people don't understand it where I live around here. But how about where you are, James?
Oh, what's great about where I live is I actually live very close to the only brew pub in the state of Michigan, perhaps in the world, that accepts Bitcoin. So I can actually go down to the brew pub and get a brewed craft beer that they brewed right there and pay in Bitcoin.
Well, where are you? Around approximately?
In Michigan.
Oh, nice. Well, you must have been to the...
So I'm gonna plug that place right now. I don't know if anyone's living in Michigan because I love the place. I want their business to do awesome. Brewery Becker in Brighton, Michigan. They accept Bitcoin, and a lot of places should accept Bitcoin because that's what makes Bitcoin so great is when local businesses accept Bitcoin and take that risk on to accept Bitcoin. And there's really minimal risk with a business accepting Bitcoin, nothing more than really setting up an account that will automatically transfer the funds into a Federal Reserve notes and deposit it right in your bank account. And there you've just, facilitated a new way of commerce, put yourself on the map as a business that accepts Bitcoin. So any business owners listening, I highly recommend looking into implementing Bitcoin acceptance in your business. And then you'll have people like me that will go to your shop just because you accept Bitcoin.
You'll probably have me there too. I'm going to try to get it more popular if I can here. But, had someone tell me yesterday, it's really not a good idea to try to educate a whole bunch of people that they want something. It's better instead to sell to people who already know that they want the thing. So in that vein of thinking, I'm going ahead and I'm looking for people who already know about it. And I'm trying to create a meetup over here in Hawaii.
Oh, that'd be a good idea. Do they have any Bitcoin meetups in Hawaii?
I haven't seen any yet, no. But it's really small potatoes kind of business. I do small scale business with Bitcoin, helping people set up wallets, crypto wallets, helping them acquire assets faster. Or if they can, for savvy folks who've got out of state bank accounts and other addresses and phone numbers and such, I help them set up with Coinbase or his. There's some Hawaii regulations over here that make setting up with Coinbase virtually impossible if Coinbase catches you that you're Hawaiian.
Yeah.
They basically said, we're not doing business.
Wyoming, too, and New York State. I think those might be the only three states.
Whoa, yeah, they stopped all those three?
Well, that's New York business. State, not just Coinbase, but New York State and Wyoming. I didn't know about Hawaii, but it makes sense. It's, when people, Hawaii's
got some
beautiful,
laws, huh?
But it's kind of nanny, man. Yeah, when people say, California has the most draconian gun laws in the nation. Not true. Yeah. Hawaii. It was actually four states that are worse. I think it's New Jersey, Massachusetts, either Connecticut or Delaware, I forget which, and Hawaii. And, so basically these laws are a combination of politicians being afraid of Bitcoin and politicians being, actually thinking they're protecting someone. Because, with Bitcoin, you have to actually, control your own wallet and stuff. And Coinbase is them holding your wallet for you. I don't recommend keeping any money on an exchange. Buy it there or exchange something for it there and then take it out and put it on your side and read about backing up wallets and keeping them secure and really...
I want to talk about backing up wallets. I know I need to get this... Back up your wallets as soon as you can. Like, as soon as you make your wallet, back it up. Because I actually personally lost a significant amount of Bitcoin.
How much?
1.5 Bitcoin because I failed to actually relocate, because I did relocate my paper backup that I'm about 99% sure that I did in fact make, but I can't find it. And I reformatted my phone without locating it first, and then I lost the Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So back it up. Back it up in multiple places.
A friend of ours recently lost 83 Bitcoin. Which is unbelievable. You know, I mean, Bitcoin's almost $3,000 right now, and he lost it when it was about $2,000 a couple months ago, a bunch of months ago. Basically, I think what happened was this is weird. He bought it as an investment without really. He kind of knew what he was doing to buy it. I mean, he bought it 4 years ago when it was a third or a quarter of that price. And he, you know, it was his life savings. And he, you know, had it on Coinbase. He should have talked to me. He should have talked to anybody. We would have said, get it off there and have it on your computer and back it up as 20 or 12 wallet words.
Yeah, definitely. And
really, with that amount of money, I would literally buy a new computer. I would go to Circuit City or Walmart. I'd buy a cheap, decent Windows wallet. I'd wipe it. I'd put Linux on it. And then I would buy the coin on Coinbase or wherever and then transfer it to, you know, an air-gapped Linux computer that's never been used for anything. Output the wallet words.
Yeah.
Output the wallet words. Output the wallet words and then wipe the computer. So wallet words, if people don't know, is you can back up a Bitcoin wallet with 12 words. And it's pretty cool. Not all wallets can do it, but here's what happened recently. So Ben Stone, really good friend of ours, kind of mentor of mine in a way, and probably also one of my best friends in real life. We talk all the time. We're very, very close. Not like that, but we're very close. And he had a Bitcoin wallet that had $650 worth of Bitcoin in it, which is it's enough to go insane over if you can't get it out. You know, it's not enough to be devastated if you lose 83 Bitcoin, but it was, you know, it was like a quarter Bitcoin or whatever it is. So he had a bunch of wallets that he had different amounts in, and he was consolidating them and doing things with them. And, you know, he had this one he couldn't get open. It was a multi-bit HD a few versions ago. And this is a known issue with multi-bit. I think multi-bit should go out of business and no one should ever use them, because this is a problem that they know about and really haven't fixed, to where, like, sometimes you just can't get your, you know, you can't get the money out of the wallet for some reason. So he had this wallet, and he and his wife spent probably 30 or 40 hours trying different things to try to get this money out of there. And, you know, finally I'm like, let me do it. Let me give it a shot. Oh, I had this same issue too with a multi-bit wallet about a year ago, but it was a smaller. I mean, it was like I had like a dollar in there, you know. So I just took it as a loss and uninstalled it. So I said, let me try it, because I have two computers I've never had multi-bit on. Let me try it on both of them. And so I tried it. I put in his wallet words. You know, on one, it said, like, invalid transaction or invalid input. And on the other one, it actually took the input and started opening the wallet and started syncing it from last time he had it a couple months ago. And it took, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours to sync. And when it sank, when it was fully synced, when it sunk, it was there was nothing in it, which is freaky and weird and should not be. Hmm. And so, you know. And I'd said to him, like, let me do it. And he's like, no, you got enough on your plate. I don't want you going crazy. So I said, like, I would do it for Ben for free, because we're really close. And I dig him, and I try to help him when I can. And he sort of had dementia for a while. He's getting better, but they thought it was permanent and was going to wipe him out. But he is getting a bit better. So, like, you know, old guy with dementia who's my friend, I would help him for free get the money out of his wallet no matter how long it took. And he's like, no, I don't want you to waste your time. I'm just gonna write it off and cry, basically. So I said, I'll tell you what, if I can get it out of there, I'll keep 20% of it. You want me to do it now? And he's like, I guess, okay. Because that made it so, like, you know, he didn't have to feel bad, you know, and I would get some money if I could get it out, and he didn't have to feel bad about, you know, having to do it. And I spent about 5 hours on this, and I tried, I tried importing the wallet words into Electrum on my phone. Didn't work. Like, you know, said invalid. Like, I couldn't hit next when I put in the words like you normally could hit next. Didn't work. Finally, I did a bunch of Googling on this, read a bunch of articles, read a bunch of forum posts, and tried. There's this wallet called Bread. I've never heard of it. You ever heard of Bread?
Yeah, I've heard of Bread Wallet.
It worked on Bread Wallet. You know, and and it cost me $4.50 in fees to transfer it out of this wallet. That's how broken Bitcoin is. Well, it was also, it had a ton of inputs. Like, it was, you know, it was a bunch of payments in of, you know, a few dollars here and there, like probably 35 or 40 different payments. So when there's that many inputs, sometimes it takes a lot more. But that's still, that's insane. Like, Bitcoin is horribly broken. But, you know, it's still a lot cheaper than, like, sending money Western Union. And, you know, it's more anonymous and quicker when it works. But Bitcoin is kind of broken, and there's a plan to fix it soon that may break it further. We'll talk about that in a bit. But so, yeah, that's my pit about wallets and backing up. And, you know, I don't really know what could have done about been done with this, except never, no one should ever, ever, ever use a multi-bit wallet. And if you have your money in a, but money in a multi-bit wallet, I would suggest you transfer it out into Bread or Electrum if you can, or, you know, bars of gold and liquid joy.
Michael, what do you put your Ethereum in?
Wow, is it raining there? It's raining there, isn't it?
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you stay off until it's only going to rain there for 5 minutes. That's how it is. Why don't you keep muted until we come back out of this break that's coming up, because the rain is just horrendous. But it's beautiful, because it's why I put my Ethereum in Jax wallet, J-A-X-X, which is...
That's where I keep my Dash.
Yeah. Oh, that's also... I also tried Jax wallet, and I couldn't get it out with Ben's. But,
oh, really?
Yeah. I don't have that much, you know, Bitcoin. I have less than $1,000 worth. I have none, actually, because I turned it all into Ethereum. And I'm going to hold it. I've tried holding forever. I'm really bad at holding, because I really like spending cryptocurrencies instead of saving them.
That's my, you know, that's my downfall.
Yeah, basically I've helped everyone else's Bitcoin be worth money by using it as an asset, and, you know, using it as
so
a
hashtag as a please currency. Donate.
Hashtag please donate Ethereum. Oh, I have an Ethereum donate now. There's an Ethereum on the Freedom Feed site. If you go to the Bitcoin thing over the right, worms, meow.
Worms.
Yeah, we'll be back after this trip to the jungle.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms. Take a time out. You had to go sit in the corner and think about the fact that he was angry. No, it's not his fault. The gods must be angry. Or bless him. You know, rain does good things. So, we're talking about Bitcoin. So, to recap, we might have gotten into Bitcoin too quickly here without telling the people in the cheap seats what Bitcoin is. So, it's basically a distributed, decentralized network that acts as a store of value like gold does, and also as a value transmission service like, say, you know, American Express or MasterCard does. But unlike credit cards, there's no tech support really for Bitcoin. You know, if your wallet doesn't work, you don't call Bitcoin, you call Michael Dean, you know?
And, or me.
yeah, and by the way, I will offer that service. If anybody's wallet is stuck and it's and they can't get their money out, I'll get it out for you. I'll try to get it out for you for 20 cents, for 20%, for 20 cents, for 20%.
See, I need to see if someone will come like tear my house apart looking for a paper back up for 20% of it.
Just tell them there's drugs on the paper. Tell them there's drugs on the paper.
Oh, I'll be able to get someone to come out and tear my house apart looking for that. Because I haven't been able to find it.
There need to be Bitcoin. So, there should be Bitcoin sniffing dogs. Then you could get
sniff pieces of paper. The problem is there's too many pieces of paper.
Pieces of paper. Yeah. Get the paper. Go in the house and get where the people live.
Then the dog will just chew it up and eat it.
Yeah.
My dog ate my Bitcoin wallet.
Yeah, that's possible. I actually wrote an article.
My dog might have ate my Bitcoin wallet, actually. That could be why I can't find it.
Yeah. Does he look more expensive now?
She always looks more expensive than she's worth.
Yeah.
What is she? Little pit bull. We've had her for 9 years now. She's a great dog, though.
Oh, wow. Nice. So, you know that song, Buffalo Soldiers?
Of course. Mm, yes.
Yeah. Buffalo Soldiers, fighting for America.
Rain's gone.
Yeah, I hear that. You back, man? So
I'm back.
Buffalo Soldiers is a great song, but it's two lies in two words. So the song Buffalo Soldiers by Bob Marley, it says Buffalo Soldiers stolen from Africa. They weren't. They were freed slaves that had been here a long time. They weren't. I mean, maybe he's speaking figuratively, like, you know, their lineage was stolen from Africa, but that's wrong. And also, this isn't really a lie, but it's kind of funny. You know, the chorus goes, ay, 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 ay. Did you know that that is note for note the chorus of a 1970s Saturday morning cartoon?
Banana Splits.
Yeah, the Banana Splits. Mm-hmm. Which was, Banana Splits were a rock band composed of animals, right? It was a dog and a lion and a monkey and a cat, big cat or something.
Was there a hippo? Instruments.
Maybe. That was the manager, probably, you know, getting fat off their labor.
So you got to know what you're doing with Saturday morning cartoons back in the day, because that was it.
That's before your time, too. How old are you, Daryl? Can you say?
I can say I'm 45 now.
Cool. So we're talking about Bitcoin, which is this, it's the stuff that all the kids are doing, and it's a way to, basically the cool thing about it is it's the government does not control it. You know, they don't print it. They don't make it. They try to regulate it, but that's like, I don't know. It's like trying to regulate weed or something, you know. They bust people for weed once in a while, but a lot of people do weed. They can't stop you. So Bitcoin is this really cool thing, and then there's all these other cryptocurrencies that have come off the same idea with little changes and big changes. But there's a problem coming up with Bitcoin, which is that it may fork, or it has to fork, or it's going to fork. So there's a problem with Bitcoin.
Well, something needs to happen to fix the issue with Bitcoin.
Yeah, and they've a bunch of, it is decentralized, but it is kind of centralized in a way that the people mining it have the power, and the people with the most hash power have the most meow. And I guess we'll save this for Belle Fouche and Sundance in the second hour on the Freedom Fighters. I love those birds, man. They're just loud enough that I can hear them, but they don't drive me nuts.
Frogs.
That's frogs?
They're frogs.
Man, that's creepy.
Frogs sound a lot like birds.
And they are the size of a nickel.
The size of a bird. The size of a crow.
You should catch a few and mail me some.
Yeah. No, don't do it. He'll lick them. He'll lick the frogs, man.
That's illegal.
Oh, yeah. Sending animals from Hawaii. Yeah.
That's illegal.
That's a spanking.
Worms. All right.
Worms.
Worms.
Squirms.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Good morning, Belfouche.
Good morning, Belfouche.
Good morning, Sundance. Good morning, Crook County, Wyoming. Good morning, mountain where they carve dead presidents in the side of the mountain with dynamite.
Good morning, truck drivers driving wherever right now. Thank you for listening to us. That's awesome.
The best place for truck drivers to hear us is actually when this is replayed on Saturday and Sunday. We're on a station that's KZSL or KSZL, Kazizzle, I call it, which is in, what's that town that's, Barstow. It's halfway between LA and Vegas, and it's a powerful station. So you can hear Freedom Fiends for about 100 miles every Saturday and Sunday there. And that is a place you really want to hear the Freedom Fiends. I've driven that probably 8 times, and it is really boring and really, really, you really want something to listen to. And there's like 3 stations. There's like Jesus, you know, Jesus and Jesus. There's Tex-Mex music, and then there's religious radio out there, and maybe some country if you're lucky. But yeah,
well, I think we're forgetting something important.
Yo,
this
ahead,
is
man.
The Freedom Fiends. We've hijacked the CIA's orbital mind control laser to beam the pirate signal of protest directly into your frontal cortex and tell you that you're free.
Yep.
It's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep. So we're talking about Bitcoin. To explain for the people in Belfouche and Sundance what Bitcoin is, it's an electronic network that's used for storing value and making payments, and it's decentralized and out of the control of any government. And there's a set amount that's going to ever be issued, and it's issued by mining, which is basically running incredibly powerful computers, which at this point take up whole buildings, just racks of computers, doing really complicated math and racing to do it before someone else does it. And that's Bitcoin. So Bitcoin exists, and it's I don't want to have FUD here. I don't want to sound like fear, uncertainty, and doubt, but there is a chance that if you hold Bitcoin right now, that after August 1st, it'll be worth nothing. There's also a really tiny chance that it'll be worth more because there'll be two forks of it. So want to talk a little bit about this? One of you asked about what's going on here?
I think it's going to go down briefly, and then it's going to go back up again,
like
it always does.
You're burying the lead. We got to say what it is. So, James, you want to talk about this UASF, which is not United States Air Force. It's UASF, not USFA, whatever. So go ahead, James.
Well, we got it's a user-activated soft fork, and what the plan is to implement this support for segregated witness, SegWit, to the Bitcoin's
which is a solution to the problem.
Which is a solution
to
a problem.
Yeah. The problem is that Bitcoin is far more popular than its creator ever imagined it would be. So transactions used to pretty much all confirm in one block back in the day, and one block is 10 minutes, give or take. And they used to cost like 2 cents. It used to cost almost nothing to send a Bitcoin transaction, you know, of any amount. I mean, you could send $1 million in Bitcoin 5 years ago for, you know, pennies. And it slowly crept up because the blocks were getting more and more full to the point where
it's waiting
things
lists.
Would take 2 blocks, 3 blocks. Yeah, you get waitlisted basically. And so the more money you put in as a payment fee, the quicker it would confirm, because that's how Bitcoin works. The miners, the mining software is set up to, you know, If you want to prioritize it, you put a little more. And recently, it's been costing like 75 cents to $1.25 for a Bitcoin transaction lately. And recently, I had one that cost
even more than that, depending on
$4 and
priority.
50 cents. Yeah, yeah. I had one that, you know, it was a bunch of money, and we wanted to get it out of a wallet. And also, I think we'd sent a key over email, over open email. You know, because at one point we're sending it encrypted, and then like things were getting frustrated and just, oh, do it the easy way. And, you know, so we wanted to get it out of that wallet as soon as possible once it finally worked. Yeah. So yeah. SegWit is an inelegant solution. There's a couple solutions proposed. One is called SegWit, Segregated Witness, and one is called Bitcoin Unlimited. And the people who... Well, SegWit is preferred by the people who are the Bitcoin core devs right now, which a lot of people feel those guys have kind of taken the thing over. And the majority of people do not want to do that. They want to do a different one called Bitcoin Unlimited. And, you know, Bitcoin is decentralized, but it's not. So really, it's in the hands of about 40 people. There's about 30 main developers that do stuff. Like, anybody can add code to Bitcoin, and pretty much it's up to whether or not people the miners adopt it. So, and then there's about 10 miners, most of them in China, that control a majority of the hash power or the network power. And that's pretty bizarre. It's like 10 people kind of could control this or make it or break it. And so things just weren't working. It was really weird because Bitcoin's price went up and up and up while it was less and less good. You know, it was breaking over the past year while Bitcoin went up to $3,000 and, you know, is right a little bit below that right now, but not much. And so something needs to happen. So a bunch of people who can do something about it, a bunch of these miners, you know, the probably the top like 30 miners have agreed to start using a little bit different software to make this work August 1st. But what are some of the possible problems here or different outcomes? James, you read the article, right? You both read the article?
Yeah, well, I read one of the possible outcomes
in Bitcoin Magazine.
One of the possible outcomes of this is that the Segregated Witness is not going to be a soft fork, and it'll cause a hard fork of the network, causing Bitcoin to actually split.
Two coins.
So yeah. Then you'll have two Bitcoins. You'll have the legacy Bitcoin and the what this article is referring to as the 148 Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's the BIP 148, and it's kind of funny because the cryptocurrency that I helped create, BIP Coin, not Bitcoin, which is worth far less than Bitcoin. Bipcoin. Oh, and by the way,
that's the solution: is move all your Bitcoin into Bipcoin.
Into Bipcoin. Oh. Bipcoin. Actually, I think the solution for me was to move it all into Ethereum because Ethereum has some pretty high fees. It has like 50 cents to a dollar sometimes, but pretty much always, to my knowledge, always confirms. Like, there's Bitcoin transactions that are stuck. You know, like, people didn't put enough... They put a really low fee on it. And, you know, generally, it'll confirm in a few days, but that's just insane. But BIP 148 is Bitcoin Improvement Protocol. It's basically like when people make a request for a change in Bitcoin, there's a process to submit that, and then people vote on whether to add it as an official BIP. And BIP 148 is the UASF, or User Activated Soft Fork. Yeah, Ethereum survived forking and turned into two coins, and they're both valuable now. One is very valuable. It's called Ethereum, and then the other one's called Ethereum Classic, I think is what they call it.
Yeah.
Because there was a civil war, like there is with Bitcoin, and we haven't mentioned that too, is that there is a civil war. I mean, there's dirty tricks being done. There's people, you know, like people that run Bitcoin forums that, like the Bitcoin Reddit for Bitcoin Unlimited has been proven, and there's like screenshots that they have been systematically deleting comments when people say, oh no, it's the SegWit people have been deleting comments in praise of Bitcoin Unlimited to make it look like nobody wants Bitcoin Unlimited. It's gotten dirty. And so what happened in Ethereum was that Ethereum allows you to write what's called smart contracts. So basically, Ethereum is like Bitcoin in that it has a blockchain, but it's a little different in that it's basically a worldwide computer of its own. Like, it acts as a computer, and you could write programs for it called smart contracts. And really early on, somebody really smart figured out that they could write a smart contract that would siphon a bunch of money out of other people's accounts. And it's really weird what happened. So it was like they outsmarted the system. They outsmarted a really smart system, and no one knows who did this, but somebody figured out how to take a bunch of money out of there, and it was they played by the rules, but nobody had figured out that the rules allowed for this happening. So I would argue that they did nothing criminal, and I would argue that they did not hack anything. They just did something they're allowed to do that no one had figured out, you know?
They exploited a weakness in the network that was there.
It's really finding
a glitch. It is.
You know, and giving yourself a reward. A lot of times companies pay you amounts of money to find a bug, but they found it and paid themselves a lot of money. Like, I think it was $30 million or something. It was double digits of millions of dollars. But it was something that was going to happen in the future. I think they had about 6 or 8 weeks, maybe, was it? Do you remember? Before it happened. And there was all this discussion of what to do. And some people actually said, call the authorities. Can you imagine? First of all, never talk to the police. Second of all, can you imagine what the police would say if you called them and said, somebody, like, first you'd have to explain what Bitcoin is. Then you'd have to explain what Ethereum is. Then, they'd probably help. They'd probably be like, okay, we're going to come over and seize all your computers and figure out what happened. You know, and
yeah, they help, wouldn't. They'd help very much.
They'd probably just arrest people, you know.
They'd probably just arrest you for using Ethereum.
Yeah. They'd probably figure out, some way to call it like securities fraud or something. That's the weird thing, too, is like a lot of these laws or old-fashioned laws trying to be applied to new-fashioned things. Like, the thing in Wyoming, the reason that you can't, that most exchanges won't let you buy and sell Bitcoin with a credit card in Wyoming is, Wyoming, like, what we call the ranchislators, the rancher legislators here, that are really old. They're, like, way older, they're between 60 and 75 or 80, most of them. Like, they have a doctor on call in the when they meet here. They have to have a doctor on call because they're so old. Like, they do not understand. And they're actually, like, they invoked they invoked a law that's meant to, like, doesn't even need to be there, but one of those, like, protect people from, high fees or something like that. They made it
RICO,
so, like,
crime.
It was actually something that's about check cashing places, like fees with check. But basically, you have to have twice the amount of money of the Bitcoin transactions you're doing to run an exchange here. So nobody does it here. They do it in New York, though, because there's so many people and it's worth it. Worms. Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Freedom Fiends! Helping the helpless!
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends. So, Segwit. You think it's going to happen?
My prediction, I'm going to say that this is based on the miners choosing to do it or not, and I'm going to say that the majority of miners are not going to do it. That's my prediction.
You think they're going to look for a better solution to the problem?
Yeah. I could be wrong, you know, like it's kind of like the whole Trump Clinton thing. I originally looked like it was going to be Clinton, and then I found one piece of evidence coming from Scott Adams, and I chose Trump as the, you know, who to bet on for going to win.
I wish I would have bet on Trump, actually. There was a, when Trump had first entered the race, there was a gambling house out of Europe, and I'm pretty sure it's illegal, but they were giving like 50-1 odds on Trump winning, and I should have just put like $20 on it or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I watched as the race went on. I remember checking that site and seeing the odds change. And it was like, oh, geez.
What's that?
I can't remember the exact site. It's a gambling house that does betting on presidential elections out of Europe.
Oh.
I can't remember the exact site, but I'd check it every once and again during the election. All I did was do a Google search for like presidential election betting, and it was always like the first result.
Yeah, because it changed. A lot of people thought Hillary was a lock until late at night that night.
Yeah.
Well, I was surprised. I was really surprised when Trump won.
Yeah.
I was not. I read Scott Adams. He wrote a really persuasive article months before that happened.
Scott and Adams, right? Makes Dilbert.
Yeah, that's the Scott Adams I'm talking about. Really? Yeah.
Is he an inveterate liberal like most entertainers or?
No. He's actually a bit more of like a student of all types of weird things like neuro-linguistic programming and other stuff. Ugh.
NLP is cult stuff, man. You know, I've decided that I'm pretty sure that Stefan Molyneux is doing NLP through his videos. I mean, he's not doing the full thing, because to do the full thing, you need to be in the room with the person and see their reaction, but... You know, a lot of his pauses and the fact that he, some creepy about it, man. I think NLP is creepy.
It works on the weak-minded, just like Jedi Mind Tricks.
Like Molyneux fans.
Well, Jedi Mind Tricks work. I have successfully used Jedi Mind Tricks when I was working at a car wash. And there was someone that came in and said they wanted the regular car wash. And I told them that they wanted the Rain-X Complete Wash. And they purchased the Rain-X Complete Wash. Jedi Mind Tricks work.
On the weak-minded.
So Bitcoin. So you guys want to talk more about Bitcoin. You want to talk about security. I got one thing to say about security. I think it's a travesty of bad security when websites, usually banking websites, a couple things. One is when banking websites have your default, you know, I've lost my password. Question B, what is your mother's maiden name and what town were you born in? Because that stuff's so really easy to find on most sites. And I've said many times in different books and on radio that my middle name, I have a weird middle name. It's Wareham, Wareham. And people always ask me, what does that mean? Or what's the W stand for? And I tell them that. They're like, what does that mean? And I say, well, it's a town in England, but it's also my mother's maiden name. So it's a matter of public record that what my mother's maiden name is. So I had to actually call my bank and like talk to somebody, talk to your manager to get them to allow me to have a different question. The other thing that's really bad that banks do, and some other websites, but usually banks, is make you have your password be over a certain number of, well, it's okay to have it be over a certain number of letters, but to make it have to have a capital and small case letter and a number and a non-alphanumeric symbol, because an 8 or 9 character password that's random and follows those precepts is not nearly as good of a password as like a 35 or 40 word sentence that no one would ever think of, that you'll actually remember. Oh, another thing that's really bad is, you know, because they're basically forcing you to make weaker passwords. And another thing that's really bad that they do, meow, is force you to change your password every once in a while. That actually leads to people doing things like writing down their password on a Post-it note.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Don't do that.
It's good to change your password, but not to be forced to change your password.
Definitely not to write it down.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Yep, 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 yep. So, in 1998, or maybe it was 1996, I was just getting into computers. I had a computer in 1991, but it was not online. I was just using it for a word processor. Got online at home in 1996, and probably within a year of that, probably early 1997, I wrote this. Computers are the ultimate sexy alchemy. You have a spinning lodestone sending shivers through gold hairs to crystallize sand into glowing phosphorus, shocked with the controlled lightning of fast math. And that's, you know, kind of my little ode to computers. And that's some of that's not even true anymore. Like, I'm trying to think, like, so spinning lodestone is, you know, a magnetic... I mean, I'm being poetic. There's not really a lodestone, but lodestone is a natural magnet. So, but, you know, a lot of computers don't even have a spinning magnetic hard drive anymore. Like, this Chromebook has a, you know, solid state drive, which is cool. You know, I'm going to talk about Chromebooks more after I've had one longer, but I'm really digging them. Chromebooks boot up in 10 seconds, and they boot down in about 3 seconds. It's pretty cool. And let's say the gold hairs, yeah, there are little gold wires inside computers in the integrated circuits. And glowing phosphorus, I don't even know if that was cathode ray tubes I was describing for the monitor. I don't even know if there is phosphorus in flat screens. Probably some. I don't know. But the idea still stands. So Google, you thought that was an ode to Google. It was an ode to computers. I was saying I don't think Google existed when I wrote that, and I looked it up, and Google started in September 1998. So this was probably a little before Google, and if it wasn't, I didn't really use Google for the first few years. I used Yahoo back then and Alta Vista. And I remember in about 1999, you know, when Google's around for about a year, it is less than a year. I remember a friend of mine who's now an attorney on Wall Street telling me that I should get my dad to buy some stock in Google. I didn't have any money, but he said, "You get your dad buys stocks, right?" And I'm like, "Yes." He doesn't need more, but he had blue chips. Like, he had like American Airlines and IBM, you know. And like, you know, I told him, I said, "Hey, my friend Bo, you know Bo, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, Bo." And I said, "Bo's really smart. He knows a lot about money. His dad's a millionaire, you know, and he's going to be a Wall Street attorney. He knows what he's talking about." And he says we should buy stock in this thing called Google. And my dad was like, "I don't know. I've heard of those computer stocks, and I don't know. And he didn't even know to call it internet. He's like, "I don't know about those computer stocks." And, you know, it's one of those things almost like Bitcoin. Like, if we'd bought, you know, $5,000 in Google back then, we'd all be millionaires. So, another missed opportunity, but Google took a while to catch on, and people were still, I mean, I was like, I use Yahoo. I don't need another search engine, but Yahoo wasn't even really a search engine back then. It was a, what's it called? Like, the things were human picked. It was a digest. I don't know what you call it.
News service. You know, like the
news service, and it was a few different things, news service, but when you did a search on it, the top results were picked by people, not by algorithms on a computer. So it wasn't a true search engine. It is now, I think, but it was, you know, it was more of a I don't know. It was a thing, but it didn't work nearly as well as Google. So what do you guys want to talk about? Do you guys want to talk about Google? Do you want to talk about inflation? Let's talk about inflation. So somebody posted, it's kind of funny. I got this friend, Arthur, who's, I know him from back in the day, from San Francisco, from punk rock, from the 80s. And he posted, he's a liberal. He's become slowly becoming a libertarian. He was an inveterate liberal like most people in San Francisco who play music. But he's becoming a libertarian basically from hanging out on forums with us and listening to the Freedom Fiends. And he posted today, taxation is theft is something we say all the time. But he posted, inflation is theft. And I said, yeah, absolutely right. And he said, can you tell me why? I'm not really sure. I thought it was kind of cute that he posted something. He didn't know what it was. And so I explained it. And I said, and this is the basics of it. This is really all I know. This is all true, but it's all I know. And you guys are going to expand on this. So I said, the federal government, through the Federal Reserve, very slowly devalues the worth of the dollar so they can steal more without adding taxes. I mean, it is a tax, but they don't call it a tax. And people kind of don't notice. They do it so slowly, it's hard to notice. But when you get to my age, I'm 53. Looking back, I could definitely see it in my lifetime. Like, you don't really notice it over 3 or 5 years' time, but you notice it over decades. They do it mostly to fund the military-industrial complex. It started in 1913 when the Federal Reserve started. It's slow and steady, but, like, one U.S. dollar in 1913 has the buying power now of $24.70. And when I first, when I was a kid, when I had an allowance, when I was 8 years old in 1972, my dad gave me 25 cents a week if I did my chores. He'd give me a quarter. You know, and I had probably an hour of chores the whole week. But, you know, it was a way he motivated me to work. And a quarter in 1972 has the buying power of $6.17 now. I actually remember, too, my dad telling me, you know, when I was like 5 or 6, him saying, you know, hey, when you get change, when you buy candy or something, look at the money. And if there's any dimes that are 1964 or sooner, grab them because they're made of silver and they're worth, he said they're worth a quarter back then. You know, they weren't worth a dime. They're worth a quarter. And now they're worth, I don't know what, $2.50 or something. I think silver's gone down. But I'm going to put this link in the show notes, usinflationcalculator.com. I didn't look for ones for other countries, but if you're in America, go there and find out, like, you know, how much when you were a kid, a dollar from then is worth now. It's pretty stunning. So you guys got more on this. Go ahead.
Well, allegedly, there's a bunch of smart truckers listening to this, and they know what inflation is. They buy stuff. So there's that. Yep. And I think the usual kind of thing is when there's inflation, you go away from inflationary type currencies like the US dollar and you put your dollars into things that are deflated. That's the usual
deflationary, yeah.
Something that's going to stay or increase in value,
which is what made gold and silver so popular, is because
they kept up with inflation for like a thousand years.
Well, they have pretty decent for their history of value, they have a pretty decent steady value that they've held on to. You're not going to make money with gold and silver, but you're not going to lose too much money with gold and silver either. It's going to stay pretty steady.
You know what we didn't mention about the Bitcoin hard fork is there are people who are actually trying to make money on this. Like, I think you'd have to be really smart, and I think it'd be a huge risk, but there's probably ways to make money on that, but I really wouldn't recommend it for people unless they really, I mean, I know a lot about Bitcoin and I'm not going to try that.
You can short Bitcoin.
Yeah. Day trade cryptocurrencies too, between altcoins and Bitcoin and other ones. Yeah. Explain shorting for people who don't know.
No, I won't explain shorting for people who don't know. You know why? Because I mentioned it, but I actually don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't know how you short Bitcoin, but shorting is just where you bet that the money's going down, basically.
How do you make money doing that? Can you explain that?
Well, yeah, it's you sell high, buy low.
I think you're betting that it's going to go down and you can buy it, and then you're betting it's going to go up a little and you can sell it.
Like all the put options on United Airlines right before the whole 9/11 thing went down. Like that.
Oh, that allegedly are proof that... Is that yeah, allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly. I mean, you know what there you were know what real put options.
You know what I've done historically with cryptocurrencies is and with silver. I've never had gold, but I've done this with silver and I've done this with Bitcoin. I buy high and sell low.
That's what I did with silver.
Yeah. I just needed money one day. I was like, you know, had about $500 in Bitcoin and I really wanted to buy something like today. I had to buy it, you know. So went down to the little shop in town and cashed it out and even took a hit on that. But it was like, you know, I bought it at like 15 an ounce and it was $10 an ounce at one point or somewhere around there. And you know, and then you sell it in a store and they take a cut too, of course.
Back, what was it? Probably about, what was it, like 8 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, when silver all of a sudden, out of, you know, was skyrocketing.
Yeah.
And it was just going up and up and up and up. There was one day that it hit 50. And I bought silver on that day. And then it dropped. That very next day, it started going down. And it kept going down and going down and going down and going down. So I was one of the, very few people who bought the day that it hit 50.
I'm really not cut out to do that kind of investing.
Yeah,
I love spending cryptocurrencies. I just love it. It's easy, yeah. So the September 11th put call is false, according to Snopes. I mean, there were put calls, but there were not a large amount more put calls.
Oh,
so
Snopes.
That's a rumor. Snopes.
Snopes consumes, right. Is that composed of like a couple and their cat or something?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Oh, wow. But that's you. You sound. I think you're using a fallacy there. It sounds like.
Oh, I'm actually just making a statement. I didn't make a claim.
It sounds like.
I made a question. Even that was a question. Yes,
it is a couple Snopes and their cat. I think they may have a couple employees now at some point because they're very popular. But yeah, they're a good place to start. I think they're kind of like Wikipedia, a good place to start. Get an idea of what's going on and then go deeper. But yeah, I don't feel like they have an agenda. Actually, I've heard them accused of having a left wing agenda and a right wing agenda. So I don't know which wing their agenda's on, but it's somewhere. So tell me more, guys, about inflation.
It's on the cuck agenda.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Gotta be careful with the language there.
Are they being cucked by the cat?
Yeah.
Shut the front door. So tell me some more, guys, about inflation and how it's theft.
Well, it takes the money you have and makes it worth less.
You know, the shopping cart.
Yeah. Yeah, the shopping cart meme that goes around on the internet where people on the radio don't see it, where you can see the the amount of groceries in your cart shrink time and time again with what $20 will buy you.
Yeah. And buying is good.
And it's redemption's like, coming soon.
Redemption's coming soon.
Love to live. Steaks.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
I love the Freedom Fiends. But in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends. This song playing right now is me playing all the instruments, and the song's called Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector? Just a question. Don't try this at home. So, we were going to talk about Ethereum, this cryptocurrency that I like and Daryl likes, but then we realized that we can't recommend people buy Ethereum because we could get in trouble. We'd have to so heavily disclaimer it, and we could still get in trouble because there are really stringent and large and widely enforced laws about giving investment advice. And I'm just going to say that I've moved all my Bitcoin into Ethereum. That's all I'm going to say. And what did you say, Daryl, about disclaimers and the world you hope to see one day?
You know, I was just hoping that someday the world is mostly populated by people who realize they deserve nothing, and that every piece of advice that they come across, whether they read it or hear it out loud or even have it spoken directly to them, that they are 100% responsible for if they choose to take that advice and use action, their own version of action, to do that kind of thing. So if they got advice to invest in Ethereum, it's on them. You know, yep. And if they got a medical advice, it's on them. And if they got legal advice, it's on them. That's the kind of thing I wanted to live with, you know?
What yep. I would like is if the entire world carried around the Pocket Alibi app and then followed up all their advice with...
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Then everything's cool.
And you can get, people can get Pocket Alibi for Android. It's free. And you can have a Pocket Alibi that says allegedly and about 100 other different things. And it's kind of fun. And it, I imagine that it, you know, could help legally protect you, but that's not legal advice, which probably should be added to Pocket Alibi.
Allegedly. So
we have a puppy parade to end this story with. You know, a lot of times on the news, they'll have good news at the end of the news show, and it's often about a puppy, and it's often about the state, like cop saves puppy from tree, or, you know, and it's not always puppies. Sometimes it's cats. Sometimes it's old people, but it's still called a puppy parade. That's the word in news lingo in the newsrooms. They'll say, all right, we need a puppy parade. We haven't written the puppy parade yet. What do we have? And we have an actual puppy parade. It's really cute. What do you got, James?
Just, we got this adorable, adorable German Shepherd.
puppy.
That little puppy that was a police academy dropout.
Why'd he drop out, James?
The police academy flunked out of the police academy because he was not cut out for a life of fighting crime because he was just... too nice.
I think that says all you need to know about police. When if you're too nice, you can't work for the police. So now the dog is, you know, they bring him out to kids and let him pet him, which is really, really creepy. First of all, you know, that they use animals as human shields to get children to love them. And second of all, this will teach kids to pet police dogs, which kids are going to lose arms.
It's a bad idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this dog was flunked out because he wasn't biting people's arms off. He was too friendly. You know? But you go try and pet an actual police dog, you're going to get bit.
Yeah. If you don't get bit, the cop will probably shoot you anyway. I could see it happening.
May result in state beatings and or incarceration.
Yep.
Yeah. So, allegedly.
What do you think, Daryl?
I think this is the world we live in, and these are the dangers that exist. So what are we going to do? You know, I think that I'm not going to be able to make a particular advisement on what to do. So I'll just sort of keep some of my own thoughts to myself right now, Michael.
I'll bring them to us.
Okay.
Or don't.
This is not advice.
Thoughts and opinions are Daryl's own and do not reflect what this myself or my co-host or other co-hosts or this show. Go ahead, Daryl.
All right, so just keep allegedly. This in mind. Monopoly services, which is what a police system is right there, you know, that's a monopoly. They're going to have the lowest quality services at an ever-increasing price. That's what they do. And so then you get these goofballs out there who just don't exactly know what to do with a dog like Gavel in this
little Gavel
Channel 7 news story. So, yeah, we know what to do. It's a plurality of services. Bark for the state, you
worms. Bark for the state. Give me that one again, James.
Bark. Bark for the state.
Sweet.
The best part about the article, though, instead of tackling substances or suspects and sniffing out explosives, Gavel preferred belly tickles and cuddles from strangers.
Bad cop. No donut. No biscuit.
No biscuit for you.
Yep. Just
good dog.
Just belly rubs.
Good dog.
Yep. Good show, guys.
Good show.
Good show. We'll be back tomorrow on Freedom Fiends, and the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that. Until repeat until droned.